You're listening to the Matt Mercer Live Radio Network.
Matt Mercer Live. Imparting wisdom to the masses on a daily basis.
Matt Mercer Live.
Get ready, America.
It's time
for Matt Mercer Live. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Jacksonville, North Florida's and realms beyond. You're listening live. Beautiful month of June. I'm attorney Matt Mercer. This is Matt Mercer Live, where we help you make sense out of the law. Beautiful, beautiful day today. Gosh, what is it? It's already June 8th, 2019. So if you're listening to an encore performance of this broadcast in the future, I hope your weather's as good as ours has been. I mean, I'm usually, you know, during the week, I'm indoors most of the time at Mercer Law, you know, practicing law. We're in courtrooms or taking depositions. I don't get out to see the sunshine very much. We had a little bit of rain. I get that. But boy, just so nice today, sitting out on the back porch, taking it all in. Gosh, I love it. Anyway, got a number of topics we're going to cover tonight on Matt Mercer Live. During your dinner time drive, this will be the fastest half hour of your week, but we're going to cram so much different information in there. It's going to be awesome. Now, I want to share with you a couple of ways to plug into the show. And I was off for Memorial Day weekend. We're almost always in here live at WOKV Studios here in Jacksonville. And we launched, of course, a few weeks ago, we launched the Ruth's Chris Dinners out to our two winners and got a nice thank you note and a lot of fun. We're going to do more of that because that was absolutely just so much fun to give those Ruth's Chris Dinners away. But we're going to do different prizes. I tell you what, let me give you the email address for the show. If you have a question on the law, it can be during the show. You can email me live. Or even after the show, anytime during the week, here's the email address, wokv@mercerfirm.com. That's MERCERFIRM.com. Also, another way to plug into the show, go to the website. I'm pulling it up here on my fabulous Mac computer. The website, go to www.mercerfirm.com, then put a /in, and the call signs of our station, WOKV. Hit enter, and that'll take you to our page. And you can scroll down. We have a fan club area. We've got a little form down there where you can plug in your legal questions if you're curious about why something is the way it is, etc., and you don't mind us sharing it. We'll try to keep it anonymous. Maybe just use your first name or make up a first name if it's, you know, that's fine too. By the way, we put a couple of photos up on the page. If you haven't been there in a couple of weeks, the webpage, mercerfirm.com/WOKV, we've added a couple of photos of our booth here in the magnificent studios here at News 104.5 WOKV. Check it out. You'll see yours truly at the wonderful microphone, and that's up there as well. So a number of things I want to share with you. I'll tell you, sometimes things happen the way they're supposed to, I think. Is that true? Do you feel that way? Sometimes the coincidence, things are just fortuitous in their timing. I tell you why. My wife and I had been looking at, we'd been invited to take a cruise, a short cruise, from here in Florida. And I know we've got listeners up in Georgia, but Florida's just awesome. If you go down to Port Canaveral, great cruises departing from various places in Florida, but I personally prefer Port Canaveral. And there's a cruise we're looking at, and it was going to take us. Now, this is, by the way, this is like a week ago we're looking at this. This is very recent. And the cruise is a little unusual. It's going to take us to Cuba, Havana. Oh, I wish I had that song queued up right there. That would have been awesome. Yeah. So it would leave from Port Canaveral, take you to Key West, and then go down to Havana. Now, I have always been, from a historical standpoint, from a, you know, a history standpoint, been fascinated by Cuba and the, you know, the pre-Castro era and beautiful, you know, a beautiful country, wonderful people. And I thought, wouldn't that be kind of cool? You know, I mean, it's been, you know, off limits for decades. And now apparently up until, well, this is the fortuitous thing I'll get to in a second, but we're kind of leaning towards that. Like, look, Norwegian, these other cruise ships, these are not like, you know, unheard of charter boats taking you into Havana. I feel like if you're going to do a cruise to someplace that you're just a little unsure about from a safety standpoint or whatever, go with a lot of people, right, on a big, giant, major name brand cruise ship. Safety in numbers. Literally, this is what's so fortuitous. June 4th, I wake up. I say, you know, we're going to do it. By golly, we're going to do it. Let's get the tickets. We'll buy, go to the cruise line website, buy the tickets that night. That was our intention. We checked the web department, government websites and all that. And, you know, you all have already heard this. This is not new news. But, of course, that same day I see in the Miami Herald newspaper, no more cruise ships from the U.S. can go to Cuba. What are the odds? The timing of that is just amazing. I was about to buy those tickets. I'm glad I didn't get the non-refundable package. Although, interestingly, you could probably make what we call a force majeure argument in the law, right? One of those unforeseen government, you know, force majeure is a clause. Let me tie it into the law here. If you're in business and you're involved in contracts, a lot of times you'll see a clause called force majeure. Maybe in your contract with your vendor, or you're getting ready to do a big production of whatever, manufacturing, or maybe you provide services to another business. Maybe you do print and mail of bank statements or whatever. And in your service agreement or your purchase agreement, if you don't have a force majeure clause, I was just thinking about that with this Cuban cruise point. Force majeure is sort of this interesting, hey, if one of the following really bizarre, unlikely things happen, then we are excused from further performance. We don't have to pay, or we can get our money back, or blah, 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 blah. And usually, you'll see in a force majeure clause in a contract, you'll often see things like these events. Acts of God is literally, you'll see that in this clause. Riots, epidemics, government regulations imposed after the fact. And the list goes on and on. Those are just a few off the top of my head. But yeah, it probably would have been able to get your money back on that cruise. One would certainly think. Okay, let's cover a couple other topics. One other thing I want to mention. When you're hiring a lawyer to represent you, we've covered that on Matt Mercer Live in the past. Some of the things to look for when you are thinking about hiring a particular law firm, and what are some warning signs, what are some things that should be reassuring, making sure you're getting somebody that is experienced in the field with respect to the problem that you have. You could have a lawyer that's been practicing 20 years, but is your problem something that she or he has had a lot of experience with, or is it something that they're going to have to try to learn and figure out? Not that that's necessarily a terrible thing. It's just something that they should be candid with you and let you know that, you know, they may have more trial experience than you can imagine, and it may be that your issue is so nuanced. Maybe it's an issue of discrimination based on your service dog or something like that. So that's something to think about. I want to share with you, because I know I have a lot of law students who listen to this show. I'll get emails occasionally expressing appreciation and this, that, and the other. And the law students and even the lawyers, when I interview at my firm and I want to hire a lawyer, I want to share. It's really interesting. You ask all the routine questions. But there are a couple of additional questions that when I'm trying to fill an attorney vacancy at Mercer Law, there's a couple of questions I like to ask. They're really, really revealing about the lawyer and sort of their nature. For example, I love asking this. I like to ask, so we're in the middle of the interview. This person is interviewing for an associate attorney position at my firm. And I love to ask them, what was your favorite course in law school? Your favorite class in law school. It's really, really helpful. Because, for example, let's say they come back and they say, legal research. Oh, I'm not really going to be that excited, right? Because legal research is kind of like, it's sort of like if you had, and there's nothing wrong with it, but if you had a leaning towards becoming a librarian, right, very, very introverted, enjoy working amongst the shelves and stacks of books, nothing wrong with that. But at my firm, I want to hire somebody that's going to be able to go into a courtroom, go into a hearing, go into a deposition, and if need be Lieutenant Caffey from A Few Good Men. Great movie, by the way. Right? So there's just different skill sets. And legal research is a course you take in your first year of law school. And I'm amazed. There are a lot of times people, when you ask them the question, they haven't really thought about that question. And they're honest. Another one I will hear sometimes, people will say, well, you know, I like civil procedure. That was my favorite course, these people will say, these candidates will say. That's not very appealing to me either. Because, yes, we use civil procedure all the time in the practice of law here in Florida. This is the subject matter that tells you which court to file in and what the motions and the different rules of the court are. But you can kind of figure that out pretty quickly. You don't need to really spend a whole year on that like they stretch it out in law school. And it's frankly, in all candor, it is a boring subject. Civ Pro, we call it, civil procedure. So it gives me a little insight. People that say, yeah, my favorite course, Mr. Mercer, civil procedure, nothing wrong with that. I just want to find applicants. And you know what? We probably have some folks who are applying to our open attorney position at Mercer Law, and they're gonna have a little advantage. I'll tell you the answer that I really like. If somebody tells me that their favorite class in law school was contract law, that gets me excited. Or trial advocacy, that gets me excited as well. Because contract law, although it can be a little bit boring in some respects, it is omnipresent relevant in our society. You are always involved in contracts. You lease a car, you buy a house, etc. So it's important. I'm attorney Matt Mercer. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Back in a few.
Broadcasting in a whole bunch of watts of radio power. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Matt Mercer Live.
Matt Mercer Live.
Listen a lot to learn a lot. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live with your host, Matt Mercer. Get ready, America. It's time for Matt Mercer Live.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Matt Mercer Live. I am your host, Attorney Matt Mercer of Mercer Law, here in the studios of WOKV, June 8th. 2019 is when we're doing this live broadcast. A couple ways to plug into the show. You can email your questions to our team here at WOKV. Here's the email address. And I always tell folks, write this down, throw it in your smartphone, so that later on when a question comes up, you'll be, oh man, what was that guy's email? Well, here you have it. It's wokv@mercerfirm.com. And the email, that's the email address, website, mercerfirm.com/WOKV. So, yeah, contract law, they'll wrap up the recruiting thing. Contract law is a very complicated subject, and yet it is so important because most of the time, I mean, think about your own life. How often do you have a constitutional challenge in your life? Or how often do you have a criminal law issue in your life? Hopefully never, right? But if you think about it, you are, realize it or not, you are engaged in commerce every day, and therefore you're engaged in contracts and contract law principles every day, whether you appreciate it or not. Even verbal agreements, you go to the grocery store, you buy furniture at IKEA, wonderful. You're engaging in contract law. It's sort of like an undertow. You may not realize it. It's there. And when I'm hiring, so many of the cases that we handle at Mercer Law involve, in one form or another, a disagreement over an agreement, a disagreement over a contract. And as I always tell folks, contracts simply allocate rights and risk to one side or to the other. All right, so there you have it. Hey, a little tip on if you're selling your used car, you're selling your used car. Here's an argument maybe why when you're, okay, you meet somebody, test drives it, it's an individual, they're going to pay you for it, great. Maybe you'd like to receive cash rather than a personal check if it's from an individual buyer that you don't know, obviously. But here's another thing. You might not want to let them leave with your license plate intact. You might actually want to take that off at the exact moment that you are giving them the keys and turning over the title. Why? Well, here's why. You want to make sure here in Florida that you no longer have liability as an owner of the car. You say, well, you know, I went ahead and signed over the title. He or she owned it at that point. But what happens if they drive away and don't go register the car and register their ownership? Wow, you could still be liable. If they cause an accident, if they do some damage, you may still be the owner of record. I'll tell you, I won't say which state up north, but I actually was hired, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, to defend a car dealer from a northern state who had sold a car to, let's make up a name, they sold it to Johnny up there, and Johnny drove the car all the way down here to Florida, the Sunshine State, and either, you know, killed somebody, ran into, I don't remember exactly the injury, whether it was damage to property or not, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, the plaintiff or the family members filed suit against, of course, everybody under the sun, including the dealer who had done nothing but sold the car from that northern state. But because the ownership had not yet transferred out of the dealership into the individual buyer's name, that was the plaintiff attorney, the injury attorney. That was his theory. Let's sue the out-of-state car dealer. Now, you remember at the top of this show, I was talking about the really boring course of civil procedure. Ironically, this is what we use to get the dealership out of that lawsuit. We filed a motion to dismiss, making a limited appearance in court solely for what purpose? To argue that the Florida courts do not have long-arm jurisdiction to reach up to a northern state and yank a car dealership before it. That's called long-arm jurisdiction. When a Florida court reaches beyond its state borders and makes a defendant from another state have to defend and be subject to a lawsuit here in Florida. Now, there are examples where that applies. For example, if there's a company, let's say in New York or New Jersey or Georgia, that is doing continuous business activities in Florida. Well, of course, they've kind of indirectly availed themselves of the benefits of the state, and they're subject to being sued here and have to defend here. But not so in many other cases. You got a car dealer up in a northern state, I won't say which one, and they have no, you know, continuous contacts with the state of Florida per se. They're just up there selling hundreds of cars a month. Well, we managed to get them out of the lawsuit. Okay, so the system works, and that's that. Now, you know what you can do? Tell the buyer, hey, listen, why don't we go meet in the parking lot at the DMV? That way I can take the license plate off, and you can run inside and register your new car. The government there is going to get its little taxes. It's going to be happy, and you're going to be happy as the seller so that you don't have any sort of risk here in Florida of ongoing liability. The connection should be obvious, but if you leave your license plate on, what's to prevent the buyer from just driving around for 7 months and not registering the car to get his own tag? Never know. I'm attorney Matt Mercer. This half hour has flown by. We'll be back next week. Check us out on the web, mercerfirm.com. And we will be back with more helping you make sense out of the law this coming Saturday. Bye-bye.
Matt Mercer Live, helping you get even smarter.